The House voted today to reauthorize what's called Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, or FISA. The controversial law allows the government to collect communications from foreigners abroad without a warrant, even if those people are talking with Americans whose information can also be collected.
National security experts have called it critical to fighting terrorism, but civil liberties groups have criticized the program, saying individual warrants are needed. So just how does this program work and what has the impact been? Let's bring in Devlin Barrett, reporter for The Washington Post. He focuses on national security. Devlin, welcome.
Hi, Vipa. Thank you.
So we've heard a lot about this program over the years. Remind us, when was Section 702 created and why?
Section 702 was created to put under law some of the surveillance programs that really ramped up after the September 11 attacks. And Section 702 exists in law to sort of create a system and a legal way of gathering what are vast amounts of data. Again, as you mentioned, data collection that essentially targets people overseas. But because you're talking about such significant amounts of data, and because data doesn't, you know, carry a nationality brand with it wherever it goes, it also ends up including a lot of information about Americans.
Okay, and that's kind of the heart of the matter here, because you don't need a warrant as it stands right now, which many say, well, if you're going to end up surveilling Americans, you should get a warrant. Is that right?
Right, that's the crux of the argument. And the governments, the FBI, the Justice Department, the people who support this program and have long defended it, basically say it's essentially a crown jewel of the U.S. government surveillance system, and it's important to espionage cases, to terrorism cases, to hacking cases. And the critics of the law say, you know, fine, but you have built a system that is too fast and loose with the rules of the Constitution, and that needs to change.
Okay. And we want to get into a little bit of both of those. But first of all, there is secrecy about what this program's used for and whether it's successful. So let's delve in a little bit to what we know about what it's supposed to be used for and what that maybe has gained for the United States.
Right. So in recent weeks, the FBI director, Chris Wray, has been talking up the successes of the program. One of the ways in which this is sort of a difficult policy debate to have is they don't like to say exactly which cases are built off of Section 02. But what the director has said is that, you know, there was a terrorism case last year that in which Section 702 played a critical role. They have said over many years that Section 702 plays an important role in espionage cases and national security terrorism cases. But they also say it's also important to hacking, and some have suggested it has an increasing value to things like fentanyl trafficking, which obviously is a great concern. So the specific examples are few and far between, but what most security experts of both parties say is that it has been a very valuable program for a long time.
And then on the other side, the criticism that you mentioned, a court ruling that was declassified last year showed the FBI improperly using this program to search for information about hundreds of Americans. The examples given after the protests following the murder of George Floyd, also after the January 6 attack on the Capitol. Can you explain how the program was misused in those cases?
Right. So one of the things FBI agents can do is they can essentially put in an identifier or a term, often that's an email or a name, and see if the Section 702 database has any information on that person, on that email, that sort of thing. And oftentimes what they're looking is not just suspects. Sometimes what they're looking for is trying to find American victims of things like hacking or spying. But essentially the way it works is they search for these terms. And as you mentioned, this court opinion that was issued, or unsealed, I should say, last year was really kind of devastating to the government's argument that they are careful stewards of this program, because it said it was misused essentially hundreds of thousands of times, including for protesters and including crime victims.
Yeah, and I think just to make it visual, as I understand it, you know, if they're surveilling a suspected terrorist overseas and they're communicating through WhatsApp or email or whatever with someone who is American or on American soil, their info goes into a database which then the FBI can use for other cases. You know, I want to just, we only have a few moments left, but there's a lot of secrecy, as we've mentioned, around this program. We know that CARE, the Council on Islamic Relations, after 9/11, were very critical of this being used to surveil Muslim Americans.
Right.
Has the program changed at all to account for some of those criticisms?
It has, and Section 702 was created, that law specifically was created to address some of that criticism. And I think for Muslim Americans and for any Americans who have family in other countries, just by the government's own rationale, more of your communications are likely to be picked up in this program. Mm. That's just sort of the way it was built. So I think that's a concern. The government has, in recent years, actually scaled back significantly the number of searches they do for Americans, and I think that's designed to try to get it passed again. But as you can see, it's very difficult.
Devlin Barrett, reporter with The Washington Post, focusing on national security. Devlin, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.